Like I say, good morning to everyone, and we are very thankful to have each and every person on the call, especially those of you who are not members of the Church of Christ. You are a very honored and distinguished guest of our call, and we appreciate you so very much for being with us this morning. In the Church of Christ, we believe that the Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right. The people that are going to be saved must obey what thus said the Lord, as the word of God is being preached. One heart must be pricked after understanding the suffering Savior died on the cross to save your sin, believing that with all of your heart, repenting of your sins, confessing him to be the Son of God, and then be baptized as commanded by Jesus, then you can be washed in the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 1 and verse 5, and then you'll be added to the only church you read about in the Bible, and that is the Church of Christ. And that's something we believe. We believe if you're on the call today that if you're seeking, according to John 4:23, the Bible says the hour coming now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father. Notice who we worship now. It's the Father, not Jesus, but we worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So Jesus is saying this, to worship his Father, it must be according to the right spirit of the individual, and that individual must be taught the truth, and then when they're obedient to the truth, and the Lord would add you to the one church, the Church of Christ, Acts 2 and 47. It says the Lord added to the church daily that you should be saved. And upon that, you'll be a child of God. The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost would be the Godhead for which you serve. Amen. So we're thankful to have you on the call. And to the members of the church and those who visit from other congregations, you too are welcome to be on our call. Now, this morning, as we continue our study, Acts chapter number 13, where we're going to be at this morning, they preach the word of God. That's going to be my emphasis through this lesson, the preached word of God. That's something that we need to understand, the importance of the preaching of the word of God. And as we go through that, I will put the emphasis there. And verse number 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas, Simeon, and there was Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. So now, remember, if we go back to Acts 9 and 10, we found that Peter had to go down to preach to Cornelius. And once Cornelius was obeyed the gospel, now the Gentiles and the Jews are all now in one church, which is the Church of Christ. I talked about that in my other lessons. And so now in Acts 11, the Bible says in verse 19 of Acts 11, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix, Cyprus, and notice, and Antioch. Notice what he was doing. Preaching the word to none but unto the Jews. So they were just preaching to the Jews initially, and then Peter went down and preached to the Gentiles. Now, notice this, and I've said it a couple times, and we need to put emphasis on it, in Acts 11 and verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. Here's where we are, in Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. Now, as again, I've said this several times, that the church there was no modern day denomination, there was not a denomination church in existence at the time. There was no Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, none of those. The only church that was in existence at this time was the Church of Christ. Romans 16:16, Paul saluted them with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now, they assembled themselves with the Church of Christ in Antioch, where the Jews and Gentiles were all a part of the family of God now, which means we had no racial division there. They was coming together. And notice the disciples were called Christians after that, first in Antioch. So God did not even recognize Jew only or Gentile only until they all came to become one. Then he called them Christians. So here they are in Antioch. The prophets there are there. The teachers are there. Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manion, and Saul. And so we had Ephesians 4:11. The Bible says he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So all these were brought together by God, teachers, prophets. These prophets were not necessarily those who predict the future, but they were those who were inspired to write as well in the New Testament. And so there were some evangelists, those evangelists are men like myself who preach the word of God and go different places preaching the word of God. And some pastors, those were shepherds or overseers or elders. These were, you hear men called pastors today. There's a qualification required to be a pastor. He's a husband and one wife. So a single man could not be a pastor. So that's often taught. Very wrong in the denominational world. Everybody's a pastor that preaches, but that's not what the Bible teaches. These were people there for the purpose of God used for mankind was to reach the people with his word. And it takes these men, preachers and teachers and pastors, to reach the people with the word of God. Now, in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord, and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for work whereunto I have called them. So what are they doing? Ministering to the Lord, serving, ministering, fasting, taking time out to focus, preparing themselves for the work of the Lord. Barnabas and Saul are guided by the Holy Spirit to separate the different works, as we see here. Brothers and sisters, as Christians, we are to prepare ourselves and focus that the Word of God can spread to those who need it. And as ministers, men who are preachers and evangelists and teachers, our abilities are different. But if Bible says in 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Let him do with the building that God gives. So I'm Brother Brooks, and there's not another Brother Brooks. As I tell the ministerial students, you can't beat me being me, and I can't beat you being you. No one is the same, so all of us must use our abilities for the cause of Christ. All of us can't do the same work in the Lord's church. It will take all of us using whatever ability, men and women, to carry out the work of the Lord. And that's what's going on here. And when they had fasted, verse 3, and prayed, and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent for by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Cilicia. And from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they noticed that here's where my title comes from, verse 5, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they also had John to their minister. What is the primary work of ministers? It is, like Paul and Barnabas, it is to preach the word of God. What is my primary charge? Understand what the preacher's charge is to, as Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:1-2, so all the men on the call, that are preachers, that are listening, our primary charge given to us by God, Paul told Timothy, is this: I charge thee, therefore, from before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Notice what he says. Preach the word. The primary charge of the preacher is to preach the word, to be instant in season, when people are okay with it, what you're saying, and out of season, when people are not okay with what you said, reprove them, rebuke them, exhort with all long suffering. Notice the doctrine. So what do we preach? We preach doctrine. The doctrine we preach, according to 2 John verse 9, is called the doctrine or the teaching of Christ. So my primary responsibility is to preach the word. And the doctrine that we're preaching today that would save mankind's soul is the doctrine of Christ, also known as the Apostles' Doctrine. That's the doctrine of the New Testament. The doctrine of the Old Testament will build faith, but it takes the doctrine. doctrine or the teachings of the New Testament to save souls. So my primary responsibility is to preach the doctrine. Preach the doctrine without addition or subtraction. That's why we call ourselves the New Testament Christians, because there were no Christians in the Old Testament. That's why we don't worship like Moses and David and them did. We worship like Peter, James, John, and Paul. That's why on Sundays we worship on the first day of the week. And that's Sunday, not the seventh day. We don't do Sabbath. We don't do the seventh day. We do the first day because that's the day of the resurrection. And after Jesus resurrected, that's when the Christians started to worship as commanded through the New Testament. So if you're joining us today and we was at the building, you would be hearing us sing without the help of mechanical instruments and music. Why is that, Brother Bert? Because that comes from New Testament teaching. They never used instruments. Somebody say, what about David? Now, if you were listening earlier, David was under a different law than us. David and them used instruments for different reasons, but they never brought it into the tabernacle. But I won't get into that. But the New Testament Christians, those who are called Christians, you never read where they had choirs. They used guitars or pianos in worship. They never done that. They sing, Ephesians 5:19, they speak to themselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melodies in their hearts to the Lord. Now, so in the New Testament pattern of worship, you hear singing. That's why we had our song leader leading us today. We all should have been singing along with our song leader. Then we prayed together. That's another act of the New Testament worship. Then we took the Lord's Supper. You notice we took communion today. Every first day of the week, Acts 20, verse 7, the Christians would break bread. They would take of the bread and drink of the fruit of the vine. And that's what that's the pattern we follow. Also, giving, not tithing. The New Testament Christians would give not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loved a cheerful giver. And then we would preach the word of God. So the effect on the people of today can only happen through the preaching of the doctrine of Christ. If people don't want to obey the doctrine of Christ, they won't be saved. And the doctrine of Christ, as I'll talked about at the beginning, the requirements there, the plan of salvation from the word of God is to hear the gospel, to believe the gospel, to repent of your sins, confess him to be the son of God before men, and then be baptized. That's the New Testament pattern of saving souls. Not the sinner's prayer, not accepting Jesus as your personal Savior. Lord, I'm a sinner, come into my heart. No one done that. Even though that's what the Baptists teach, and I love Baptist people, that's good people. All good people, all my family were Baptists. That's not having nothing to do with how good you are. Is that what are you obeying to save your soul? Now, there's coming a day where you're going to get put in that box. I call it the box day. They're going to put you in the box. And what you don't want to do is enter into that box. I'm talking about a casket. Where you did not obey the doctrine of Christ, when you didn't obey the teachings of Jesus, when you are not in the church of Christ, you don't want to die outside the church of Christ. You don't want to die not being baptized. So, Brother Brooks, I'm baptized. I was baptized, but I'm not in the church of Christ. Well, there's only one true baptism. There's only one true church. So you can't be taught wrong and baptized right. So if you were taught something that wasn't according to the scripture, then you're not a Christian. And I don't say that to be mean. I'm saying that so you need to know it before your box day, before they close that casket. You need to know before you get put in there that there is only one church and the Savior in the church. That's something you hear from me every time I preach. And I'll talk about that one church. I'll talk about it because most people don't know that. But now, when you believe the Bible, you will have no problem with that because you'll believe everything that the Bible says. Now, so now that we know the primary responsibility, my primary responsibility as members of the Church of Christ, should understand when Brother Brooks is standing, I'm standing under a charge. So I'm not standing there to seek to please men. As Paul said, if I seek to please men, I would not be the servant of Christ. And my charge is not to preach so people like what I'm saying. My charge is to preach so people can be saved. So the best thing I can do as a minister, as a preacher, as an evangelist, is to preach. The best thing we can do for Houston is to preach the word of God. The best thing we can do for the United States of America to help make it better is to preach the Word of God. The best thing we can do as members of the church to our friends and family is, if you're not preaching, then bring them there here to preach Word of God. As a minister, the best thing I can do for any drug user, alcoholic, or other sinners, fornicators, adulterers, whatever the sin may be, the best thing is for them to hear the Word of God. The best thing we can do for bereaved people, downtrodden, those who are depressed, oppressed, people who are on their sick beds, people who don't, that has lost hope in life, the best thing we can do for anyone is to preach, to give them a chance to hear the preach Word of God. As a minister, for me, the best thing I can do to help homes become better, to be stronger marriage and stronger family, is that we get these people to hear the preach Word of God. The best thing we can do, the best thing I can do ever, and I hope one day that's all I can do, is just preach every day of the week if I could. I'd want to do that. I'd preach every funeral I could. I want to preach every chance I get. Why? Because that's the best chance that we have to reach lost souls. Amen. And as a minister, the best thing I can do is to be ready to defend that same truth. In the world that we live in, with a church on every corner, people teaching everything but the Word of God, the best thing I can do, and that's something I love about Brother Stroud as well, we both stand there. We will stand and tell the people the truth without fear, without fame. We're not looking for pats on the back. What we're saying is that we must teach against the stuff that's wrong. And I know there are members of the church don't want you to call names, and they shouldn't say that. That's the reason I do that is because my charge is between me and God. So I have to say, if it's wrong, it's wrong. It's not a put down on the people. It's a put down on error. It's a put down on what's not truth. And people need to know the truth. And sometimes, many times, and often, we all know the truth hurts. Yes, it does. The truth hurts. And the Bible teaches me the reason why I preach the Word of God and the purpose of it is found in 2 Timothy 3:16. What God speaks through Paul to Timothy, he said, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. So when you preach the Word of God, inspiration means like God's breath. It's actually coming from the very mind of God, the mouth of God. And it's profitable. It's going to benefit people for doctrine, to know what the true teaching must be, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. Let's make it very clear. The primary responsibility I have you all is not necessarily counting people. Not necessarily being there to be the mediator between you and your husband or wife. Now, those are ministries. Those are the things we can do. You look at elders and pastors. They do a lot of that type of stuff. But as a preacher, mine is to preach the Word of God because it profits people. It's profitable for correcting people wrong and for instruction in what is right. And that's what we must do. Now, my primary emphasis in my preaching will be what the power of God is to save a soul. Romans 1:16. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Notice this now. For it, that means it by itself, is the power of God unto salvation. What is the gospel? The gospel is the preaching of God's love to mankind, of his son's suffering on the cross. And when people see that God loved them to give his only child, and people hear that child suffered on the cross, as Peter preached in Acts 2, men and women who love God and see what God went through and what God allowed and what his son suffered for, their hearts would be pricked, as Peter preached to them on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, 36 and 38. They were pricked in their heart and asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what must we do? Peter said this, repent and be baptized, every one of you. What was he teaching? He was teaching doctrine. What doctrine was he teaching? The doctrine of Christ. It was the teaching that Jesus gave his apostles, commanded them to do. We found that in Matthew 28:18. He said, go teach all nations. Then he said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Then in Mark 16, the doctrine of Christ comes again. In Mark's account, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's exactly what you must do in order to be saved, because that's the doctrine of the teachings of Christ. So that's the purpose, is to save souls. The whole purpose of preaching the word of God is that souls will be saved in the end. That's why Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So if you want to call today, you haven't obeyed the gospel, you're not saved. You need to be saved. But you're hearing the preached word, so you got it going for you this morning, because you're hearing the preached word of God. Now, I've said enough already for you to be saved if you want to be saved. Now, let's go back to verse 6. When they had gone through the island to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, identifies who the sorcerer is, a false prophet, a Jew, who was surnamed Bar-Jesus, a Jew who was surnamed Bar-Jesus. Now, these preachers come up on this sorcerer, this false prophet. Now, a sorcerer, if we look at the Old Testament, it's like a magician. In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 18, I won't read all that, 9 through 22, God forbid witchcraft and magicians. In Leviticus 19:31, he said, regard not them, they have familiar spirits. They're being led by something. It's a spirit. You need to seek out the wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. So here's what we need to understand. There are people who can be led by another spirit. Here's why we have to be prepared when we go into the ministry. Because I'm going to have to face these individuals who are led by another spirit. There are false prophets, and there are false prophetesses today. Women too. And in our society, we see a lot of false, fake healers and people claiming to raise the dead and palm readers and psychics telling you to call the 900 number and all that type of stuff. What they're doing is preying on weak-minded people, but they are influenced by some kind of spirit. The Word of God is able to deal with this. But we can't deal with it by ourselves. Now, verse 7, which was the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent, meaning intelligent, man, who called Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. Now, when people, we got to understand, so we don't get discouraged when people don't want to hear the word of God. Now, I know we want our family and friends, loved ones to be saved. But not everyone want to. They don't desire to hear the word of God. They want to be saved the way they want to be saved. And it doesn't matter how much you talk to them. You talk to them till you're blue in your face. And some people say whatever that means. But if they're not willing to obey the word of God, if they don't respect it, they're not respecting. They're hurting themselves because they're not willing. They don't have no desire to hear the word of God. So you can't get shook up over people who don't have that desire. They're not going to obey the scripture. Somebody say, well, if a person, I say this, when a person don't believe the Bible, it's no good to quote it to them. Because they don't believe it. And that becomes something that you can keep doing as long as you want to. But until they desire to hear the word of God, they're not going to hear it. But then you're going to have men like Sergius, an intelligent man. And he went to the men he knew were preaching the truth. He went to Barnabas and Saul. And he wanted to hear it. The word of God. And I've had people who've done that with me. They've heard me over and over and over. There comes a time in their life when they were ready to hear what the word of God had for them. And that's always the targeted audience when I'm preaching. We must understand that the targeted audience are those who desire to hear the Word of God. Members of the church who don't want to hear the Word of God are not going to be helped by the Word of God. They have to receive the Word of God with meekness, James 1:21. If you are a Christian and you continue with behaviors that the Word of God can't change, you're not receiving it with meekness. It just seems to me the older we get, as you live through life, God give you time to live, there are a lot of things that just should not be happening with Christians. Arguing and fussing and fighting, division among families, not loving one another, not being able to control your behaviors. You're not hearing the Word of God. You're not receiving it with meekness. And what I'm saying to us is this. Until we receive the Word of God with meekness, it won't save us. James 1:21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive it with meekness the Word of God, which is able to save your soul. Christians, members of the Church of Christ, I'm talking to. Are you one of those individuals who the Word of God is not changing? It's because you're not receiving it. When you start receiving the Word of God, you start being obedient to it. And when you start being obedient to the Word of God, it will save your soul. To the visitors on the call. If you don't want to be baptized and you can't believe in the one church, then you're not receiving the Word of God with meekness. God is not going to change his word for you or for me or anyone. You have to receive it as written. And when you receive it as written, you understand, you will receive it with a meek spirit, gentle. And let the Word of God come into your heart. Receiving it in your mind, understanding it, and then obeying it. Faith that saves is an active, obedient faith. Meaning you actively do what the Word of God do. When people desire to hear the Word of God, they won't have a problem with you saying things like division is wrong, denominationalism is wrong, entertainment is wrong, emotionalism is wrong, fake healers. When people done flushed all that out of their mind, they ain't there to hear no beatboxing and bass mic, and they ain't there to clap and jump up and down and flop around on the floor. They're there like this man. They had a desire to hear the Word of God. Now, are you on the call this morning? As a member of the Lord's church, did you call in with your desire to hear the Word of God? And when your desire is to hear the Word of God, it won't matter if it's Brooks preaching the Word of God or Stroud preaching the Word of God. Because your desire will be focused on what is the Lord saying to me. Preach the Word of God. Then you too will receive it if that's your mindset. I've seen it over and over the years I've been preaching. People come to the church building on Sunday morning. They didn't come to receive the Word of God. They came for a social gathering. Because you can tell by their behaviors. They're not learning to obey God. They're not following. You can preach the Word to them. They heard it that morning. And right afterwards, you start seeing behaviors that are influenced by some other spirit. We're going to get that in a minute. That's what I'm going to talk about. But preaching the Word of God, Church of Christ, understand this. Our strong suit in the churches of Christ is this. We have book, chapter, and verse for everything we teach and believe. From what the name is out on the sign in the front of the building, when it says Church of Christ, we got Bible for that. Baptists don't, Methodists don't, Catholics don't. Nobody in the numbers world have a Bible for that name on their building. That's a starting point. That's a starting point. When we understand that the Bible is right and the Word of God, people who desire to hear the Word of God, they're going to desire to hear from a place that has no man-made doctrines, creeds, or manuals. They want someone who only preached from the book called the Bible. So our targeted audience is like the people like Sergius, who are seeking to be true worshipers, and they have a personal desire to hear the truth. And maybe you're here today on the call because that's where you are in your life. And I was thinking, I don't know if you guys heard me last week or this week, a young man, well, he wasn't a young man, but a man who had heard the gospel in California throughout nationwide a few months back, did not know he was going to die this week. But he heard, it was a time in his life. He may have had health issues. I don't know what the circumstances were necessarily, but I'm saying that it came a time in his life where he was ready to hear. And when I talked that man over the phone, he told me what he had heard on our calls. He said, man, I want to know when can y'all baptize me? And I made the arrangements there in San Diego for him to be baptized. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying, I don't know who's on this call this morning. I don't know what your death date is. I don't know what mine is. But I certainly do know this, that I believe that the Bible is right. And I believe I have obeyed the doctrine, the teaching of Christ as commanded. Now, I'm not saying I'm perfect. That's not what I'm saying. See, to be a Christian don't mean you have to be perfect. You're going to live a sinless life. No, he didn't die because we're going to live a sinless life. He died so we can be forgiven when we do sin. That's why you have to be a Christian, to get that forgiveness. It starts in baptism. And then after you become a Christian, the Bible teaches us that we must confess our faults one to another. In 1 John 1, he said, we confess our sins. He's just to forgive. So after you become a Christian, the way you continually get forgiveness is through confession and repentance. As we live during the day, we are washed in the blood. We walk in the light, 1 John 1, 5, and the following verses. And that blood cleanses us. Like if you have a bad thought and you weren't trying to, all you got to do is ask for forgiveness. But if you have not been baptized, you can't even do that at this point. That's why I'm encouraging you on the call today. It may be that you are at a point in your life where I'm ready to make change. This is how you do it. You got to receive the preached word, understanding that it's able to save your soul. And you're on the right call this morning. You're on the right call. But are you listening? Are you like Sergius? Are you ready and desire to hear this word that I'm preaching? Look at verse 8. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood him, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. And this guy, here's another guy come on the scene who don't want this man who want to hear the truth. He don't want him to know the truth. Something we must realize, that there are those out there who will be influenced to prevent others from hearing the truth. To turn them away. Like he was seeking to turn the deputy, the governor, from the faith, meaning this truth from the Bible. The faith means what's written in the Bible. It's something I must realize as a preacher. There will be those who will withstand, challenge, and oppose the preaching of the one faith I'm doing. I know that. That's something that's coming. And you need to know that. We all need to understand that there will be those who will oppose the teaching of the one faith. This one straight and narrow way that Jesus taught. Matthew 7:13, enter in at straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many will go that way, he says. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life. And few there be to find. Who's going to find this straight and narrow way? Those who desire, like Sergius, to hear the preached word of God. But then you got these guys like Elymas that's going to come into your life. But as we stand, I'm like Paul as a minister. I'm set for the defense of the gospel. You know, I will stand on the truth. It doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter if it's Church of Christ preaching. He wrong, I would say he's wrong. And I expect everybody to tell me when I'm wrong. Because that's best for our souls. I will contend for the faith. Jude 1:3. And understand this. Here's why we must defend and contend. Here's why the word of God must be preached. And I'm getting to it now. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. This is the Holy Spirit telling us this. That the latter times, in the latter times, some shall depart. Notice where they leaving. The faith. From the faith. What was Elymas trying to do? He was trying to turn this man from the faith. He did not want him to believe in the word of God. And the Spirit is saying, there were some were apart from the faith. Notice what's going to happen. This is where I want to be. Giving heed, seducing spirits, influential spirits, and doctrines. Notice who's teaching. Notice who's influencing this. Devils. That's important for what I'm getting ready to do. They're going to be speaking lies and hypocrisy. Having a conscience here with a heart is not going to bother them to be hypocritical and lie about all of what God has said to them. Forbidding to marry. Tell the people, to be a Christian, you can't be married. You got to be celibate. That's a lie. God never told a man to not to have a wife, to be a priest. And we know this is taught in the Catholic Church. They tell these men and women they cannot marry. They're right here in the Word of God. If a person in the Catholic Church believed in the Word of preached Word of God, they would know the teaching to not marry or commanding them to not eat meat on a certain time. He said, commanded to abstain from meat which God created to be received in thankfulness of them which believe in them. Any Catholic that believed in the word, the preached word of God, would know immediately just from this verse that that teaching they're getting come from the devil. Yes, well, I know that's hard, isn't it? That's hard, isn't it? Because the largest religious group that call themselves a Christian, we just identify, the Bible just identified as doctrines of devils. So you check what you're being taught. That's how you know what it is and who it's from. Watch how Paul handles this false prophet back to Acts 13:9. Then Saul, who's also called Paul, and he's finally, this from here on, you hear him called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, said his eyes on him and said, he set his eyes on him and said, O full of subtlety and mischief, all mischief. That's who he called him. Thou child of the devil. Told you. The child of the devil. Thy enemy. Paul is looking this man in the face. You trying to stop the word of God from being preached to this man who desired to hear it? It tells me that you are a child of the devil, an enemy of all righteousness. Paul said, will you not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Why did they preach the word of God? Because the devil has children, people who are influenced by him, who want people to be lost. He want to turn them away from the truth. the faith. He want to turn a deaf ear to the truth. Nobody but the devil himself want us to be lost. And his children are those who are influenced by the spirit of the devil. That's a seductive, influential spirit. It can happen to those who are not members of the Church of Christ and to Christians who don't obey the truth or behave themselves like Christians. When we are misbehaving ourselves, we are being influenced by the devil and his tactics, his wiles. Jesus said in John 8:44, he told them to their face, just like Paul just did, "You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." The devil has children. So what will his children do? The devil would move on the children. He would influence them in three different ways. Here's how he influenced. He influenced us. When we are misbehaving or doing things that are sinful, the Bible says the devil is influencing us. Jesus said, "You are above your father, the devil." But listen to 1 John 2:15. John said, "Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world," here it is, number one, "the lust of the flesh." When we follow our fleshly desires, that's being influenced, not by God, but by the devil. When we follow the lust of our eyes, see something we want, that we know it's wrong, that's not an influence from God. That's an influence from the devil. And thirdly, the pride of life. That'll stop you from admitting you are wrong and the Bible is right. Pride will stop you from being baptized. Pride will stop you from taking the Lord's Supper every Sunday, being a Christian in the Church of Christ. You say, "Well, I don't care what you say. I was born a Baptist, I died a Baptist." First of all, you weren't born one. But you could die one. Just mean you didn't die a Christian. Pride stops us from obeying the truth. Pride will stop members of the Church of Christ from admitting that you are the one that's wrong in any kind of dispute between two people, two Christians. And you're wrong, you are just wrong. And when you are wrong, you can say, "I was wrong," and you can ask for forgiveness. That's what Christians do. We don't let pride get in our way from saying we're wrong. Now, we can't make people accept our apology. We cannot make others accept us admitting we're wrong. But don't let pride stop you from doing it because they won't do it. We have to admit when we make mistakes. If we hurt people, we have to say we hurt them and ask that person to forgive us. Can you make them forgive you? No, because they have to overcome their pride to accept the forgiveness. Pride will stop us from doing what God tells us to do. Three things that the devil will use to influence you, my friends and family, is your lust of the flesh, and we know that leads to a whole lot of different things. What we want, we steal and take. Sexual fulfillment. Doing things that we know that are not according to God's will in the flesh. Walking in the flesh. Doing all these different things that the fleshly desire leads us to do. These are the kind of things that we have to be aware of, things that we see, things that can cause us to fall. We have to be aware of the fact that these influences are not coming from God, it's coming from the devil. He's influencing us. But God gives us the choice to walk by his spirit. Galatians 5:16. Listen to this. This I say then, walk in the spirit. That means follow what the spirit gave us, which is the Bible. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See that? If we follow what the Bible say do, which has come from the spirit, then you won't give in, you won't fulfill it. That don't mean you won't have a thought. Because you can sin in word, thought, or deed. But you can also understand where that thought is coming from, what's influencing it. For the flesh lusted after the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the spirit, you're not under law. Now, why? Here you come. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. Here they come. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variances, immolations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Anything that looked like that. Now that captured a whole lot of stuff right there. So we look at the preached word. The Spirit has given us ways to repent of these things, to change these things. And the only people going to do it will be those who are being influenced by the preached word. The word of God can influence us as well. It's going to influence us to be led of the Spirit, to follow the Spirit, to obey the Spirit. The word of God is quick. It's powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, watch this now, of the joints and marrow, and as the discerner of the thoughts, there it goes. Where is the word of God going to work at? And intents of the heart. That's where it works, Hebrews 4:12. So when the word of God is going into, you're hearing the preach word this morning, is going into your heart. If I listed one of those sins that you're currently involved in, the word of God is identifying it for you so that you can repent. So that you can change it. So that you can stop it. There are many people who report their sins and don't repent. Just saying, brothers and sisters, I have sinned, like we hear some. You saying, brothers and sisters, I have sinned every week. Are you not repenting then? You're not repenting. You don't have to repent means there are things you have to stop. There's no sense of saying I'm repenting if you haven't. You're just asking for grace and mercy. You need some prayer, like we talked about last week. If you haven't stopped doing these things, then understand where the influence is coming from. I'm not saying, Flip Wilson said, the devil made me do it. The devil ain't making you do nothing. You'll be influenced to do whatever you desire to do according to your flesh, your eyes, or your particular pride that you have. The devil can't come in your mind and just control you. You have a choice. You can choose God or you can choose the devil. So, Paul, call this guy out. He calls him out. Look at verse 10. Back to Acts 13. Oh, full of all subtlety. That means being deceitful. He's deceiving. And all mischief. He's trickery. He's tricking people. That child of the devil, that enemy of the righteous will not cease to pervert the right way. So this child of the devil, he's slick. He's mischievous. Acting with intent to harm, hurt, and injure. He is an enemy. He is against what is right. And don't expect people who are against what is right to tell you what's right when they know you're wrong. They're not going to do it. They'll go along with you. And I pray I'm never that type of person. I don't care if it's my family or who it is. If I believe they're wrong, let's understand something. We owe it to their soul to tell them that they are wrong. We owe it to each other. You owe it to me to tell me I'm wrong. I owe it to you to tell you you're wrong. Why? If you listen, then it's a chance to stop doing what's against God's will and save your soul. If you're hard-headed, you ain't going to listen to nobody. That's what our responsibility is to others. Well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. Well, you're going to just leave them like they are? You're not going to tell them they were wrong? You're going to let them walk away and do it again? Or should we just in love say, that's not right what you've done. That's not right what you've done. And let me tell you something else. When you know you wasn't right, it's okay to throw back and tell the person, I know I wasn't right in that situation. And when you have admitted it, when you have confessed it, when you have asked for forgiveness, that's what God expects from you. It's on the other person at that point. I have no problem telling them I shouldn't have ever done that. I was wrong. I know I was wrong. You don't have to tell me I'm wrong. I know I'm wrong. That's a responsibility you have. This child of the devil, though, won't tell you right. You're wrong. He will pervert or turn you away from doing what's right in the eyesight of God. Now, let's make this real for us before I close. Some people think that we're talking about an old, ugly guy with a red suit and horns on his head. We're not talking about that. It could be your husband. It could be your wife. It could be your best friend, your co-worker, or the person you're shacking with. You got two devils laying in the bed together. Which one is influencing each other? Do you not know marriage is honorable unto God? God don't want us shacking. We shouldn't go along with it. We shouldn't say it's okay. We shouldn't lead others to believe that it's okay. We should tell them that's wrong. And people who love each other will marry. Why? Because they love God and themselves. They love their souls. If you just let them get away with it, and you don't tell them, I would say as parents, shouldn't we tell our children? If what you're doing is wrong, most likely they already know it, but I'm going to make sure I tell them that I don't agree with it. It's not right. You need to be thinking about getting married. It's okay to move out. You'll make it. You'll be all right. You know, you go back and say, well, you know, we're doing this so we can save our money up and we're going to live together for the next year or so. We're going to save our money. How do you know you're going to live another year, first of all? Who said it's going to work out? Who said that they're going to save the money together and both of you going to act right? How do you know he ain't trying to take advantage of you, sister? How do you know he just don't want what he can get and later on he's going to leave you and go to another one and do the same thing? How do you know that? How do you know, brother, she's going to change? Don't you see both of you in danger? Both of you are in danger. One of y'all love the soul of the other person. Here's the thing about it. It starts with this. If you know you're wrong, then you can admit it each other. It starts there. This is not something we're doing because we don't know it's wrong. We know it's wrong. Admit it, at least. Don't try to make it okay. And at some point, you may be able to repent. But when you make it okay, then you're just being influenced by the devil. He pervert what's right. If I know what I'm doing is wrong, the best thing for me to do is say, I know this is not right in the eyesight of God. And don't get down and start praying then, because you know God doesn't hear a sin. Why are you praying when you know you're in sin? You're willfully sinning, doing what you're doing. I wonder about that. A child of the devil will influence you to sit down and smoke dope, drink, have sex, socially drinking, go out to clubs. They will laugh with you. They will party with you. They'll kick it with you. They'll shoot them text messages to you. They'll send them pictures to you. Now, do anything you want to do with them on the phone. People, this is our young people. They understand what the internet is. It's a tool of the devil. It's an influence. What is going on with the FaceTimes and the Snapchats and all? Where do you think that stuff is coming from? Why do they give you a chance to Snapchat a young lady and be naked and it goes away all of a sudden? What's the influence? Who's influencing this stuff, this type of behavior to our children? It's the devil. It's an influence. And the only thing that will happen is that we preach the word. We preach against it. You know what some preachers have a difficult time doing? Preaching against something that applies to them. Everybody, some of this stuff applies to all of us. Every one of us. It applies to married couples who are sleeping in separate rooms and can't get along in marriage. It applies to single people who are unmarried and shacking, as we call it, or cohabitating. It applies to those who are involved in your life that are misleading you and inviting you to do things that you know that are not godly, to buy things, to cheat on your taxes, and these people will be your friends, your family, your loved one, could be your sister, your brother. Do you know these could be a family member that's influencing you? It could be your daddy that's influencing his son to be like him as a father. He was no good. He's influencing his son to be no good. Could be a mother who never respected her husband, always talked down to him, never was submissive, always in control when God says, submit to your husband. And then your girl, she grows up doing the same thing. Then a mother, you've got your children coming in the house. They see you with two or three different men. Some stay with you overnight. They know what's going on. They're not crazy. And then you land up with a man, they know that's not your daddy. You know, he's your daddy. No, he's not your daddy. That's not your biological child. Don't try to hoodwink the kids and thinking that's your child. That's their daddy. He's not their daddy. He may be stepping in and do what he can. That's commendable. But the truth is, and the truth hurts, that's not your daddy. That's a man who's stepping in because your daddy is not there for you. And there are some good men who can step in and be step-in fathers. They do the best they can, but they never have your blood. You'll never have their blood. Who influences people like this? Who will influence us to not go to the church? How many of you have thought about when we get through with this conference thing, when we're safe, what's going to influence you to stay at home in your pajamas and not put no makeup on and not have to get dressed and hope we keep doing the conference call so you don't never have to go back to the church building? Who would encourage that? Who would influence that thinking? It wouldn't be God. Because we're commanded to assemble. Now, should we go to the place on black eyes? No. Should be safe. Should we go when there's danger? No, we shouldn't. But when everything's okay, and it's clear to go back. If you decide to stay home, I'm going to tell you up front. That'll be a sin. So I'm just giving you a heads up. When we can go back to the building, we won't continue to do this. For those who, unless you're providentially hindered, sick, and can't come. But it won't be for those of us who can get up, put our clothes on, and come to the building. That's who it's going to be for. That would person is a person who would be influenced to stay home. The child of the devil, he's slick, cunning, trying to take us out. He'll influence you to not get baptized, not stop sinning. He's going to influence you to continue what you're doing. How many know somebody like this? A husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, best friend, co-worker, friend, family, acquaintance. Have you thought about it like this, though? The person is you. You that child. Have you thought about it like that? Let me ask you a question. Haven't every one of us on this call acted by the influence of the devil before? If you say no, and I'll tell you what your sin is, lying. That's what it means, lying. Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God never influences us to sin. It's only from the influence of Satan. And until I can see myself in the mirror, then it won't matter. Because I can't be saved. Because I'll never see my own wrong. Somebody once told me, when you point one finger, you got four pointing back at you. So which finger should you point first from a lesson like this? Well, go to your mirror and look, and you'll see the face of the person. It's you. It's me. But the preached word of God can help us change our ways. As I close, and now behold, the hand of the Lord upon thee. Thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Now, no, nobody could do this today. Paul was doing this. Saul, this is what happened to us. This is not going to happen to us like this. That was a miracle. Notice what happened. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, what did he do? He believed, being astonished at the doctrine of Christ. See, we blinded by the truth. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. And when the God of this world have blinded their mind. Meaning you're not opening your eyes to the preached word. Your eyes are not open to the truth. You're not open to the one church. Your eyes are not open to baptism. You're not, as members of the Church of Christ, your eyes are not open to the things that you have to change to be a Christian, to have Christian behavior. You blinded. That's what's going on with this man. It was a miracle thing for us. We are blinded to the preached word of God. If you come into service, if you came on this call this morning, something I said should have resonated with you. If you can look at yourself. And when a person believes, you can turn when the doctrine or the teaching of Christ is taught. When the word of God is preached, the preached word of God is what going to help us get to heaven, you all. Every one of us. What saddens me more than anything is to know that family, church family, cannot get along. You want to know why? Church family and physical family, biological. You want to know why? I know, and you know, that somebody that we love is being influenced by the devil. But this day, you can be influenced by the preached word of God. If you can take what some of the stuff I said today, you can take it with meekness. You could put the shoe on that applies, and the rest of it don't apply. But is there anybody on the call between you and God today, between you and God in your mind right now, is there one person on this call that I did not touch in some way, form, or fashion with the word of God? I would say no one on this call who came with a desire to hear it can leave unfazed. Because your purpose for hearing it was to benefit you spiritually so that you'd be saved. So if you're on the call this morning and you came on the call, you didn't know what was coming, and you're on the call then, if you're not a member of Church Christ, you may have just heard for the first time that you were lost. And that's what I want. I don't want you guessing. What he's saying to save people in Church Christ? Yes. Was he saying that I got to be baptized again if I wasn't baptized in the Church of God? Yes. Was he saying God doesn't hear a sinner prayer when I accept Jesus as my personal Savior that I wasn't saved? Yes. Was he saying that I should take the Lord's Supper every Sunday? Yes. Was he saying I should be in a church that's not worshiping instrumental music? Yes. 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 So you can't say on the day of judgment you didn't know. Because I told you. And I shared from the Word of God with you. If you're a member of the church, was he saying I got to stop my behavior? Yes. Was he saying I got to love the people? Yes. Was he saying I got to stop being angry and cutting up like a Christian, like the devil? Yes. Was he saying I got to forgive? Yes. Was he saying I have to admit when I'm wrong? Yes. Was he saying that I too can be the devil? Yes. 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 I'm saying all of that to all of us, from the pulpit to the back door. And don't you think no preacher can get in that pulpit and don't get hit by some of this. If he does, I can tell you about it. That's not a preacher of God's word. Because the word of God is sharp and it cuts in going and coming. But if you want to call today, these are the two people I'm trying to get. The non-members, those who are not members of church, here's what you got to do. You got to believe that the Bible is right first. When you believe that the Bible is right, you'll believe that God loves you. You'll believe that God sent his son for you. And you will believe that he hung and suffered on that cross for 6 hours to save your soul. Well, upon believing that and hearing it, you will repent and make your change. You say, I got to change. I got to do something about this. Number four, you will be willing to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God as man did in Acts 8:37. Number five, you will be baptized as commanded by Jesus for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38, Mark 16:15-16. And then you will be added by God to the one church, the church of Christ. Not until you'll be washed in the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 1:5. The members of the church, you have already been washed. You can understand what you looked in the mirror and saw was you. And you can make your confession. You can ask God to forgive you. And you're okay again. But if you die in your sins, you're not going to be okay. So those are the people I wanted to preach to. The one, those who came to hear the preached word of God.